One-on-One, the podcast. I'm Mark Harmon. He is Seth Marks. We are out of the playoffs, just like the Chicago Bulls. The number 9 seed, Derrick Rose hurt, Jimmy Butler hurt. Jimmy Butler going down to see Dr. James Andrews because he wanted to get a second opinion, not fully trusting those Chicago Bulls doctors. Now, Andrews did come back, Seth, and say, hey, you're good, you're structurally fine. Continue your rehab, rest, whatever you're doing, and get back on the court as soon as possible. Perhaps that'll be Monday night with Toronto. Will the Bulls make the playoffs this year in a dogfight with the Detroit Pistons?
Mark, No. Short answer is no. I think this team is regressing at a level I've never seen a Chicago sports team ever regress this rapidly. Going into the season, some experts picked the Bulls to go deep and possibly come out of the East and get to the NBA Finals. To be in the position they're in now, to not even make the playoffs, and Derrick Rose putting his hand up every freaking other day saying, I need a blow, coach, and not just a few minutes, I need an entire game. I mean, he is soft. Hoiberg is soft. The organization is totally upside down. Where do you start with the Chicago Bulls?
Well, I thought it was a huge moment this week when Fred Hoiberg, over 10,000 minutes as an NBA player, over 600 games combined from coaching and playing, when he finally got his first technical. Very frustrated with 3 minutes to go in the San Antonio Spurs game. And Hoiberg, after a Taj Gibson non-call going up for a dunk, stepped onto the court and got himself a tee. Taj Gibson stepped up and said, that's awesome. I love when Fred shows the emotion. Derrick Rose like, that's sweet. I love when he showed the emotion. And then they go to Paul Gasol. He's like, no big deal. Doesn't matter. We lost and whatever.
That's called maturity by Gasol.
Right.
But Hoiberg a little late. I like the guy that shows the emotion. There's no question. I like that. I think that players can feed off of it, unlike some, Chicago Bear pass coaches. But a little too late. If they don't make, and I was hoping that he, unlike Thibodeau, who's cracking the whip in November, like he's running down the stretch on a quarter horse, I was hoping that Hoiberg had more of a Phil Jackson Zen thing happening, but you still have to have control of the team, and the players still need to buy in. And above all, you got to make the playoffs. Playoffs, you have to make the playoffs, and then you can go to that next level of coaching. Thibodeau burned these guys out. It was my opinion. I think a lot of people would agree with that. There were articles about that Thibodeau burned these guys out. Now the pendulum swung so far the other way with a guy that's so laissez-faire. Will we get a new coach? Would they stick with Hoiberg? If they don't make the playoffs, do you course correct this immediately, or do you give Hoiberg more time?
Well, he's got a 5-year deal, so he's not going to go anywhere. But
kick him upstairs, make him a GM.
And then make Hoiberg the GM, fire Gar, and bring in a coach?
Yes.
Not maybe the best suggestion you've ever come up with. Won't happen. They're not going to be that out of the box. But he was in the front office with Minnesota. And it is a way for you to spread out your dough, and that would be boldly creative. And who knows, maybe Fred Hoiberg, as competitive as he is, if you offered him that spot, hey, Fred, we think you're better in this role. We really want to give this a go, and we'd like you to hire our next head coach.
Larry Bird did a nice job upstairs.
There's a lot of guys who have stepped into the front office and done a nice job. I mean, Steve Kerr used to be in the front office, made some shady trades, and brought in Shaquille O'Neal in Phoenix. But a lot of guys have done that.
It's cup check.
And maybe the stress of being on the bench is...
it's just not his cup of tea. Some guys, it's not. I mean,
I don't mind that suggestion.
I'd like to see another coach. And I'm not saying Hoiberg doesn't know basketball, and maybe he'd be much better stoically sitting with Michael Reinsdorf and the next generation of Reinsdorfs some young general manager talent. One of the great things, and I don't know where you stood on one of the more controversial figures in the 80s and even into the early 90s in sports in Chicago, who took, in my opinion, got the worst rap and was maybe one of the best general managers in any sport, Jerry Krause.
Oh, please don't
Jerry
do this.
Jerry Krause.
Why are you kidding?
I love Jerry. Loved him, and I thought what he did was genius.
What part?
Kept the foundation, right? The three pillars of Pippen, Jordan, and Jackson together, and everything else changed.
Wait, hold on.
Everything else would change to bring back the passion and love and challenge for Pippen, Jackson, and Jordan. They'd bring in new guys that were He never allowed it to get complacent. He kept the organization energized and hungry, which is the key to winning in corporate America or in sports. Complacency kills, and Krause never allowed it to get complacent because he kept bringing in new talent.
I'll give Jerry Krause credit for hiring Phil Jackson. I'll give him credit for
Pippen.
I'll give him
Grant.
I'm not giving him credit for Grant. He wanted to pick Joe Wolf. They had to beg him. They had to sit him down.
He picked him. What do you mean he wanted to pick Joe Wolf? I'm married. He married Grant.
Yeah, but it took Tex Winter, Johnny Bock, Doug Collins, all begging the guy. He gets credit like
Bill Cartwright. That was a huge signing. That we were able to get past the Knicks because of that.
But that trade would never be a good trade on any team. Michael made that trade look good. Oakley for Cartwright's a terrible trade unless you have Jordan.
Oakley's like Jay Cutler. He looks great. He's got great numbers. At the end of the day, they're losers. Oakley never won anything.
Oakley had a good career.
I don't even think he won at Virginia Union, which was like D3 or 2.
I love when you throw out Virginia Union.
I'm just saying, Oakley, you got to be a winner to win. Oakley was not a winner. Cartwright was a winner.
More importantly, who
took the San Francisco Dons deep into the tournament?
Listen, I like Bill Cartwright, but that trade, and the other thing, while he drafted Kukoc, they waited 17 years for the guy to finally come over here.
He won six championships. How have the Bulls, and I get Jordan and that. When Jordan retired that one year, we went to the Eastern Conference Championship, was it Hugh Hollins that stopped us?
Let me ask you a question. How did he do when he didn't have Michael? He was the biggest disaster in the history of the NBA. They were an embarrassment beyond embarrassment. Oh, any red-blooded general manager wants to show that they can rebuild a team even without the great players. Look at the Celtics. Do they fold the tent with Bill Russell? No, they went out of range from Tim McHale, Pierce, and Bird.
It's a shame we don't take calls on the podcast because I really believe more people would agree with me that Jerry Krause was a very solid general manager. He got six championships. How many does Kobe have?
Five.
How many does LeBron have?
Come on.
They were arguably as good, in the league of Jordan.
Listen, first of all, the team shouldn't have folded when they did. They should have at least won one more. Second of all,
That was Reinsdorf.
No, that's
pay
right.
Everybody, keep them happy.
No, all he had to do was get rid of Krause, and it would have been fine. But he was too loyal.
Get rid of Krause?
Yes. Bye bye. You created too much drama.
Jordan, you think, and Jackson ended up leaving because of Krause?
I think Phil left because of Krause, and then Michael left because Phil didn't say Mike. Listen, Michael should.
Phil left because of Krause?
Yes, Michael. Listen, bottom line, end of the day, Michael should have continued to play. He should have said, listen, I'm bringing in whoever he wanted. They should have said, who do you want to be the coach? Dean Smith? You want Doug Collins back, who he ended up bringing to Washington? Whoever it would have been, he should have been able to pick his coach, and he should have kept playing. And he should have known, by the way, you love playing basketball, and I know that he was burnt out at the time, but he comes back 3 years later, and he's still putting up huge numbers for the Wizards. And people forget that. They look at his Wizards career like he wasn't doing anything. The guy has scored 50 points in back-to-back games when he was 41 years old. He was not done when he retired with the Bulls, even the second time. He should have kept playing, which I'm sure I don't know if you'd admit it, but I would think he regrets leaving the way he left because you don't get those years back.
Well, who would have got him to stay? I mean, we need Tony Robbins or have to have someone so emotionally, mentally, psychologically powerful that could have, because Jordan was leaving regardless of who the GM was.
I think Michael left because Phil left and he was angry and the whole thing. But regardless, that's water under the bridge.
That was the last time the Bulls were good.
It sure was. But, we were told at the time that, organizations win championships and they're going to build it back up. What have they done? They've been in the Eastern Conference Finals once. They won one game.
That's what I'm saying. What do you got here? They're not even going to make the playoffs.
Luol Deng spoke out this week saying,
what'd he say?
He said, there's no way you get rid of Tom Thibodeau. You get rid of him, you're rebuilding. Yeah, I can't believe they did that. I mean, Tibbs instilled a work ethic. And yes, I get you. You've talked about this.
How has he not been picked up, though?
He will be.
Well, what's taking so long?
Listen, he's been out. He's collecting $5 million to do nothing. He's going to be a head coach in the NBA next year. There's only 1 year sitting. He's going to sit for 1 year.
Did the Knicks hire their guy yet?
he's not going to New York, but he very well may end up in L.A. as the Lakers head coach. He could end New York's a possibility. Perhaps, I don't know, Orlando. Maybe Minnesota. Minnesota would be a great spot for him. That team is on the come.
How long could Rick Carlisle coach the Mavs?
For 17 more years. The guy's unbelievable.
Does Cuban love him? Did you see that where the ref went into the huddle? Did you see that this week? Did you hear about it?
No.
Mavericks game, guy Valentine, you love in the college game?
Teddy TV.
And I forgot the NBA equivalent. And oh, by the way, how about
Joey Crawford?
Your guy, Oliver Sholem, he's retiring. Joey Crawford.
I know, it's very emotional.
But there's now evidently another jackass ref. This guy went into the huddle after a timeout. They're walking back to the team, and Deron Williams, who I love, plays for the Mavs. You know, they had a little disagreement. They call a timeout. Williams is walking back, sitting in the huddle, and the ref comes in and says something like, you know, to what do you call it? Instigate. And Williams says something back, and the ref tees him up. Is that right?
No, listen, I think the referees
need... The ref should get fined. When you're a timeout and you're on the bench and the ref goes to instigate, I mean, the reason the coach called a timeout was to cool everything down and get Deron, everybody cool and collected, and the ref sticks his head in the huddle, and Williams says something to the ref, like, get the blank out of here, and the ref tees him up.
Well, refs are human too, Seth. They have emotions, and sometimes those emotions spill over. But I completely agree. This referee, whoever you're talking about, should be fired yesterday.
Fired?
Yes.
Not just fined. It's a heavy move by you. You might be more of a Trump guy than you think.
Easy. That's not my role. All right, let's wrap up with this. Bryce Harper, the face of baseball, which doesn't really have a face, but he said that the game of baseball is, he said, I don't want to call it boring, but basically the guy's looking for more emotion in the game. Enough with the put your head down, run around the bases in 10 seconds. Let's get more of a Jose Bautista bat flip a la the playoffs last year, which was one of the coolest moments. Let's have more stare downs. If I strike somebody out or you strike me out, you can taunt me all you want. And let's get some actual flair on the field so it'll connect more with the young sports fans of the world and not get passed up by football, basketball, the whole thing. Where do you come out on Bryce and trying to get rid of the old school baseball tradition and more into an actual, you know, in the moment, kind of in your face type of entertainment?
I'm all for it. Anything you could do to liven up the game of baseball, you know, I think everything needs to evolve and innovate a little bit. Again, you know, it's a complacency thing. Baseball has been a complacent sport. They go so old school versus football and basketball. You know, baseball is the only sport, arguably, where Babe Ruth, a guy from the, you know, the beginning of the game, could come in and still be great today. Baseball is the only sport like that. There's no, like, old-school great guy in football or basketball that could come in and be great today. It's indicative of the sport's complacency. It's my the operative word today.
Complacency is a big word. I always liked it that, hey, man, if somebody hits a three-run homer off you and you're a pitcher and he stands there, next time he comes to the plate, strike him out rather than hitting him, strike him out, and taunt his ass on the way back to the bench. I mean, that would be fun.
I do think there's some room to loosen the game up. I definitely think there's some room to loosen the game up. It would make it much more popular and fun to watch, and more kids would probably play.
That's the other thing. You're a kid, right? 10, 11, 12 years old. Standing out in the outfield or standing at second base for hours on end, four at bats. Nowadays, with the attention span, it's almost too boring, right? Play the soccer, play the hoop, play anything where you're moving around. I mean, I don't even know how I did it. With the ADD that I was working at back in the day, how did I stand out there at Sunset Park and wait for the ball to come to me when I could have been running around?
Anticipation. It's the anticipation that the game might come to you. There might be a moment, and then the whole world is, that's the beauty of baseball. It's like being a DB in football. You're on an island, every position. When that ball's coming your way, the whole world's watching you. If you only get four or five put outs a game, one put out, it's still the exhilaration of the knowing if that ball's coming your way in the field. That's what kept me interested, and that's what made me a really bad baseball player.
Well, I'm very excited. What's keeping me interested right now is the fact that we're going to dinner right now. Where are we going to eat? What do you got in your? What do you got?
Well, I, you know, Mark, I got to tell you, the app has changed, the evolution of apps. There's like an app for everything now, and I think one of the early ones that was great is OpenTable. You can, at any given point, I'm going to put two guys in there for an 8:15, see what opens up for us, and take it from there.
I was thinking we'd go Harry Carey's for the moment of love and really go see a scene over there.
High sodium. Very high salt, high cholesterol. It's a not my diet.
You eat terribly. You love to.
I would say Harry Carey's on the lower end of steakhouses in the Chicagoland area. When not, it's a second round draft pick.
You got to take that back. You got
it's a second round draft pick.
They're a very big sponsor for the station.
Are they?
Yes.
Let's. Can you rewind?
Yeah. let's. Hang on, actually, I can't. Ready? 3, 2, and 1. Seth, let's wrap it up here. You want to give a March Madness dark horse pick before we get out?
Well, the brackets come out about this time tomorrow, Mark, Sunday evening. And Purdue looked unbelievable. Michigan State looks good. I watched both of those games in their entirety. I think both of those teams, and they're not dark horses by any stretch, but watch out for Purdue or Michigan State, because when they win that Big Ten championship, one or the other is going to win. That is when you get the momentum and you're feeling good and you have some swagger running into the tournament with some confidence and you're hot. Watch out for Purdue or Michigan State.
Jordan Cornett from Campus Insiders, former Notre Damer, also 120 Sports. We had him on the beat, and he said Kansas has the most talent they've ever had. He's picking the Jayhawk. So just throw that out there. Rock Chalk.
Safe bet.
Jayhawk.
It's a classy horse, no question about it. All but right. How's this? You take Kansas, I'll take Michigan State and Purdue. You take one more team.
Northwestern. Taking the Cats. They should be in there. All right, we'll see you next time. One on one.
This was an attempt at an intelligent sports conversation.
On 720.
It'll always be an attempt.
WGN. Actually, WGNradio.com. We'll see you next time.